The reading for this morning is from Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 to 26. While he was saying these things to them, behold, a ruler came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live." And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his garment, I will be made well." Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter. Your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went through all that district. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Could you listen to the words of today's reading without picturing them? I can't. There's something wonderful about the Gospels. They make your mind work in a little different way. You read other things, like the epistles, for instance, and while you're trying to figure out concepts and the meaning of words and, well, okay, what's the flow here? What's going on? What's happening? What's he trying to tell me? It's kind of cerebral. And then you read the Gospels and boom, your head is full of pictures. You just can't read without picturing. I wonder if maybe that's one reason that a favorite little word in the Gospels is that word we heard today twice, behold. Or in other words, look. Because this is something not just to be heard, but to be seen. Here in the Gospels, you see with your ears. You hear this, you hear Matthew start this passage, these just few verses that we heard, and he begins, while he was saying these things to them, he was telling them a parable about new wine and old wineskins. While he was saying these things to them, and there it is, behold, look, see, turn on the visual. And what do you see? Well, you see a ruler, only the ruler is kneeling down in front of Jesus. A ruler is a man with authority. He's a man who stands tall, who tells you to do this and you to do that and you to come here and you to go there. That's what a ruler does, doesn't he? No, picture this. It's a ruler on his knees before Jesus. A ruler who's begging, who's pleading, who is ruling no one and nothing. He's forced to his knees by a power that humbles everybody, including every ruler of every time and place. My daughter has just died. Here's a ruler. But what you see is a ruler who is begging for help. Begging usually seems like a pretty hopeless thing, doesn't it? Right down here on this corner, as often as not, there's somebody out there with a sign. And it's kind of a numbers game, really. It's not about the beggar. It's about the hope that one of those vehicles is going to come to a stop and the window's going to go down and an arm's going to come out and some coins or a dollar or whatever is going to be dropped in his hand. The more cars, the better the odds. He's not looking for anyone in particular. He's just looking for something out of all those numbers going by. This is different. This is a different kind of begging. This isn't a numbers game. This beggar goes to one person only, for one reason only. He knows who Jesus is. He knows whom to beg for help. Come and lay your hand on her, and she will live. This isn't any old beggar saying to any old person, come to my daughter. This is one beggar speaking to one person only. You. If you come and lay your hand on her, she will live. And he was right. He put his faith in Jesus, and Jesus gets up and goes on his way to the daughter. Jeff Gibbs summarizes this story in a single sentence. He says, on the way to raising the dead, Jesus heals a woman who's on the way to becoming dead. Here's Jesus on his way to raising the dead, this little daughter. And along the way, he is interrupted by another daughter. And we hear Matthew once again telling us to look. And behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. And we see her, this woman. We see her. This cowering woman, trying to sneak through the crowds just to grab the tassel of his garment. She's no ruler. She was never a ruler. This woman hasn't had an ounce of power for at least a dozen years. Actually, she's worse than a beggar. She's an untouchable. Leviticus 15 says, if a woman has a discharge of blood for many days, not at the time of her menstrual impurity, or if she has a discharge beyond the time of her impurity, all the days of the discharge she shall continue in uncleanness. As in the days of her impurity, she shall be unclean. 12 years. She was unclean. Leviticus goes on to say, anyone who touches her, anyone who touches what she sits on, what she lies down on, is unclean. So 12 years to be avoided. Is she ever married? Had anyone in all that time embraced her? Did anyone ever touch her hand? Did anyone do anything other than avoid her for 12 years? Did anyone ever think that this passage was really not about moral uncleanness, that it was part of the ritual law of the Old Testament that points all of us to the reality of our sin and our life in a fallen world? Did that ever happen? None of those questions is answered. All we have is this little line from Matthew. She had suffered. She had suffered for 12 years. 12 years suffering in exclusion that we can barely imagine. 12 years losing blood every day, slowly bleeding. 12 years of a slow death. Gibbs is right. On the way to raising the dead, Jesus heals a woman who is on the way to becoming dead. 12 years long. But she will not die today, this unclean beggar. For she too knows the one who can help. There is Jesus, and the tassel is in her reach. And as she grasps it, he turns not to cringe or push away or to tell her to leave him alone or what has she done. No, none of that. He turns and says, take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well. And instantly the woman was made well. That's the best we can do with that in English. But the word behind made you well is bigger than a medical miracle. It's salvation itself. And that's what this Jesus does. He makes us well in body and soul, for now, forever. She is made well, and on he goes back to raising the dead. And he comes to the ruler's house. It's chaos. There's mournful music and a noisy crowd, and he comes up to them and sends them away. Go away. Leave. The girl is not dead. She's sleeping. And they ridicule him, but he throws them out. That's the word here, by the way. He casts them out. It's the same word that will be used in just a little while when the text tells us about Jesus casting out the money changers from the temple. It's the same word when he casts out demons. He casts them out because Jesus does not make nice when evil is getting in his way. He throws them out because his love will not be stopped by them or anyone else. And so you see him enter the house that has been cleansed of the scornful, and he holds this little daughter by the hand. And oh, by the way, she's dead, so she's unclean too. But he takes her by the hand, and she arises. Look, behold, see, this is your Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus, this one who heals and who saves, not for a moment, but forever. This one who not only responds to the suffering, goes to the suffering, but himself finally takes on the suffering of the world for us all. This is Lord Jesus, your Lord Jesus, who goes to the one who died and to the one who is becoming dead, like you and me, like each of us. And says to us as well, arise. Of him the scripture speaks to every one of us in Ephesians chapter 5. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. In Jesus' name, amen.